Welcome to First Reading, the Old Testament lectionary podcast for learners, for preachers, for teachers everywhere in the world. My name is Paul Essa. I'm a PhD student in Old Testament Hebrew Bible at Yale University.
And I'm Rosie Candlethal, an assistant professor of Hebrew Bible at Wake Forest University. Our co-hosts, Rachel Wren and Tim McNinch, will not be here with us on this episode. But as usual, we are here and able and willing. So we've got preaching insights for Sunday, November 10th, on Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. So Paul, where are you taking us with this beautiful and somewhat full passage?
Yeah, the narrative of Ruth, the entire book of Ruth is so rich, but it also has some tensions. It comes with some grace. Chapter 3, if we remember, preachers, opens up with Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, giving Ruth this sort of audacious plan about how they would survive the next few years ahead of them. And Naomi tells Ruth to go down the threshing floor where Boaz is winnowing barley and to wait for the right moment to uncover his feet and to lie down. That's a very important, moment in this story. Mm-hmm. And so by the time we reach chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, the story wraps up with redemption. Yay! Something good is happening finally, right? Mm-hmm. Where Boaz, as part of this really unique redemptive process, marries Ruth. And they have a son, and they name the son Obed, who becomes the grandfather of David, an ancestor of Jesus. And it is truly like a tightly woven narrative about, desperation for survival. There's also something about risk, which I'm going to talk a lot about in the next few minutes. And then loyalty, if you remember, like the language of, wherever you go, I will go with you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. This is Ruth talking to Naomi. And then there's also divine providence, as we will see here in chapter 3. So it is an interesting passage, and I like the way you describe it as beautiful but somewhat bold.
Focus on the bold, right? Because I'm glad you're going to talk more about risk. Because the threshing floor scene, for many of our students and congregants, right, what is actually happening there is a bit of a question, right? So you kind of highlighted the idea that uncovering his feet may be a euphemism for something that's going on the threshing floor that the biblical narrator is kind of being careful to circumscribe. But there is something there that's quite fascinating and awkwardly suggestive, right? Mm-hmm. So how does the culture of, now you've mentioned Levirate marriage, right? This kind of practice of marrying the widow to keep the land and family intact.
Yep.
How does that nuance this whole euphemism of uncovering his feet?
Really good question. I think that's where a lot of the meat and bones of this particular, passage actually lie. And the language here, as you note, is delicate. It's suggestive, but it's also deeply significant. And as you know, preachers, Levirate marriage was a custom designed to protect widows and to continue a family's lineage by requiring the nearest male relative to marry the deceased man's widow and to protect her. There's some darker sides to it, but this is what the basic sense is, right? What is interesting is that Ruth's situation is slightly tricky because Boaz, the man that he petitions, is not technically obligated under Levirate marriage to do this thing, to do this redeeming thing. He isn't the closest relative in this case, right? So Naomi's plan, therefore, to go to Boaz and to do this thing is a little bit of a strategic gamble. It could work, it could not work. And for me, that's where the risk is coming from. But Ruth is effectively making a demand of Boaz, not just asking for protection, but for some kind of a kind voluntary redemption. Can you please help me? I am in desperate need right now. So while the uncovering his feet, the language at night, could carry some sexual, subtle, seductive, undertones, it's not necessarily seduction, I would say. Rather, it's a symbolic gesture. It's a plea for Boaz to cover her, Ruth, with his protection and to take on this whole role of a Goel in a Hebrew, which is the Kingsman Redeemer, the next in line to help sustain a dead person's inheritance and name and progeny, right? So by uncovering his feet, Ruth signals for me like vulnerability, and she initiates a request for Boaz to act honorably. It's bold because it pushes him, Boaz, into a decision that he has to make. And we see that decision in the passage where he has to consider whether he is going to redeem her or he is going to leave her exposed without covering, without help.
Right. I'm really glad that you're kind of exposing the power differential here as well, right? Because you're underscoring the idea that there's risk on both sides, right, to take this on. Ruth is a Moabite woman. There have been accusations in the biblical text up to this point about their sexual kind of proclivities already, right? And we'll see that elsewhere in the biblical narrative. The foreign woman is often one who is both vulnerable in this passage because she's a widow and in need, but also vulnerable to the accusation of being the foreign woman that tries to seduce the Israelite man, right? So the idea that Boaz could leave her out to dry is very real, right? And in fact, in the passage, the way that it kind of wraps up, Boaz is very aware of the fact that no one should see her in the morning, right? So he's quite careful to kind of, you know, then give her grain. It leaves open what might have happened overnight, but they are quite aware of the risk of what could happen if Ruth is discovered on the floor, having spent the night there, right? And it was not unusual, right, for widows to have to support themselves with prostitution. So the risk that Naomi and Ruth take, right, not so much a risk on Naomi's part, right? She kind of asks Ruth to do this, as you say, for survival, right? If it works, great. If it doesn't, well, it could end very badly for Ruth. So she's really, as you say, putting herself at the mercy of Boaz's character.
Oh, indeed. I think, you know, think of a woman showing up alone on a threshing floor at night, right? It could be misread. She could easily be rejected. Like, you know, there's so many things can happen, right? But Boaz responds with kindness and calls Ruth a woman of noble character, right? His response acknowledges the dignity in her act rather than shaming her and, exploiting her, recognizing that she was there and she meant good for her mother-in-law, Naomi, as well, right? So by the time we get to 4, verse 13 through 17, we see the fruit of this risky, vulnerable act or choice that Ruth makes. In that Boaz marries Ruth, and together they have a son, Obed. And what's striking here is how the focus shifts from Ruth to Naomi towards the end, right? And and the women of the town proclaim, Naomi has a son. You know, I think it's 4:17. The story here, you know, speaks to me in ways that, you know, remind me that this is just not about an individual fulfillment. It's about restoring a broken people, a broken lineage, a broken community through a bold act of faithfulness and of kindness, both on the side of Boaz and Ruth, I should say.
So here you're kind of focusing on the beauty in the passage, right? Although we've kind of come through maybe a hairy bit here, it seems to end well in this arc, right? From uncertainty to restoration, and not just an individual fulfillment of something, but Ruth has really acted sacrificially. And Boaz recognizes that her act is in service to her mother-in-law and that family, right? So Ruth is willing to put herself in that position to preserve and to kind of continue the line, not only for Naomi, but for Naomi's whole generation, right? Like the men in her family. So what is the preaching tip you might offer for this text?
I mean, I'm sure preachers could talk about a lot of things, but along the lines of what we've been talking about right now, I think there's something here about focusing on the transformative power of vulnerability. Because vulnerability is a really difficult thing to do, to put yourself in a position where you're exposed, right? It's a tough thing, and it's not something that we would naturally be inclined to do. It's in our default position as people. It would take some kind of an effort, especially for people like me who are like, you know, we like to be a little bit assembled and, you know, well collected and well presented and all that, right? It's kind of tough. And so Ruth's courage and willingness to take risks despite the odds paves the way for redemption, as we've seen. And I think preachers can draw parallels on how God often works through risky, uncertain situations, right? Inviting us to trust even when the outcome is unknown. And this reminds me also a little bit of the Job passages that we've been talking about in the past, right? There's this difficult thing about living in uncertainty and trying to find meaning when you cannot see the future and when situations are tough, right? And you can also not see the future. But I think Ruth models a different way out, right? Which is she leans into faith and she takes bold steps. And so, you know, if I were preaching this passage, I'll probably think carefully about this and see how I can tease out this a little more and develop it into a preaching tip.
I love, first of all, the idea that you're seeing faith as the willingness to risk, and that you're also pointing to, you know, the messiness, the uncertainty of risk, right? The willingness to kind of put yourself in a position where you could be rejected or received, right? And you're kind of drawing the connection, I think really a nice one, between Job and Ruth, too. They are both kind of bold in their questioning of their circumstance at the moment and willing to try to do something about it, right?
Yeah.
But I can see all kinds of pitfalls, even in this kind of presentation of faith, right? Mm-hmm. So where might you caution preachers?
I would say it in a very funny way first, which is don't read the book of Ruth. Oh, don't read Ruth chapter 3 at your wedding, right? This is not a wedding. This is not a wedding passage. Avoid romanticizing the story. I think that while Ruth and Boaz's relationship can look a lot like a love story, it is more about survival and responsibility, right? Ruth doesn't pursue Boaz for romance. Neither should you use this passage as a model of saying, yeah, women, here's an example. There's a reason why you should propose to your man. This is not about that, right?
Right, it's not a gender reversal kind of thing.
At all. And I've heard people do that a lot. I think that Ruth is seeking security for herself and for Naomi. And preachers should be careful not to reduce the story to some sort of a biblical Hallmark movie. You know, and the real beauty of this narrative lies in its portrayal of God working through human risk, God working through human faithfulness, God working through human vulnerability. Right? That's a powerful thing to think about. And also, I would say that preachers should be cautious not to present this as a prosperity narrative, you know, where, you know, every risky act would necessarily lead to a happy ending. You know, not all stories need to lead to a happy ending. Yeah, I think we should try and like curb that a little bit and tone it down a little bit, especially in this particular passage. I think that Ruth's story ends with joy, yes, but it comes after seasons of grief. It comes after like a long failed migration. It comes after uncertainty. It comes after death, even like a series of death, even and suffering in a society that unfortunately doesn't pay a lot of attention to women, especially widowed women, right? And so we should read redemption in this story. Not as a way of erasing that pain, but that, you know, redemption comes after pain. And actually, redemption transforms pain.
Yeah, that's a really important caution. I think the fact that you're emphasizing what has come before, right? So to not forget the tragedies that these women have lived through. And that this really is a story about survival rather than, you know, kind of an easy romance, a Hallmark story, as you've said, right? Well, Paul, I think you've given our preachers and our teachers a lot to think about today as they present this story of Ruth. Thank you for your insights, and thank you for bringing out the beauty and the horror of the story in Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and chapters 4, verses 13 through 17.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Friends, we hope you found something helpful in our discussion today. Remember, you can find an episode on nearly every passage in our lectionary by using the search box on our website, firstreadingpodcast.com. And while you're there, take a look at our merchandise or make a donation to help keep this podcast going if it's helpful to you. And a big thank you to those of you who have already donated. We are grateful for your support. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you found us helpful, leave us a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you find us. Until next time, I'm Rosie Candlethal.
And I'm Paul Esser. Have a great week preaching.